Okay, good morning, everybody. For some reason, yesterday I was looking at my bookshelf and I saw the Lev Shalom from Shalom Shadron. I haven't opened it in a while, so I figured I'd open it this morning. And he asks an amazing kid that I think is going to give us a very powerful lesson. We know that Esav, when he comes back from the Kura of Avram, he's hungry. You know, give me some of that red stuff. Right, this is Rashi Halitani Eftach Pi. I'm going to open my mouth, and show, you know, pour down a lot. Right, you don't stuff the camel, but avamalitino, so you pour it down to him, and certainly describing a very intense form of feeding him, right? And it sounds like he's starving, and imamish, he's almost by sekunders nefashos, and he needs lentil soup so badly, and just pour it down my throat. So the Medrash, Chazal tells, and it's brought down in the Torah Shlema, the following idea, that Esav had what's called a sickness called Bulmus. He had a sickness called Bulmus. Now, it was brought down, Bulmus is so life-threatening that if somebody has Bulmus on Yom Kippur, right, you're supposed to feed him. Right? So, Kodesh the Foshas. So, I don't understand. It sounds like we're painting Esav in a negative light, that he said, shove it down pour it down my throat, I need it so badly, but he was just a Kodesh the Foshas. He needed somebody to pour the lentil soup down his throat quickly. So why are we speaking so negatively about Esav? He was b'sakonos nefashos. Also, he's called Edom. Why is he called Edom? Based on this idea, because in this ave he desired the red lentil soup. I don't understand. If he was in danger, if his life was in danger, so it's obvious why he acted so aggressively and so intensely that he needed it so badly. Right? It's an amazing question. Chazal tells us he had bulmus. You can even feed somebody food on Yom Kippur. So why? It doesn't make any sense. Of course he's going to speak, you know, intensely, throat, you know, pour it down my throat and so on. So one answer, or some Shadron answers, is that how did he get there? A person who develops such a taiva for food, we know that Esav was certainly a glutton, somebody who develops such a taiva, of course, he's more prone and vulnerable to becoming, you know, becoming ill with bulmus, right? If you get yourself used to always fressing, so of course, if you're slightly hungry, it could bring on bulmus, right? And that lesson is very, very huge. If a person is involved in inappropriate things, a person is involved in things that he shouldn't be involved with, so of course, he'll say, oh, I'm an onus. God, if I don't satisfy my desires, I'm gonna turn into a pumpkin. I won't be able to function, right? So that's the reason why we have Tainas and Esav. You right? It's your own fault. You make your bed, you sleep in it. You developed a taiva for food all the time, of course. So why did bulmus happen to you? Because to you, missing food for a few minutes is life and death. But to a person who grows accustomed to not being a glutton, so bulmus is a very rare illness by him, and it's his own fault, which is really I need to watch, you know, I learned the base medrash, but I need to watch. I need because if I don't watch, if I don't relax by watching X, of course I'm not talking to the people here. The people that are here, Baruch Hashem, don't have these things. But I need to relax, because if I don't watch my TV show in the middle of the yeshiva of Shana Bed, then I won't be able to function. I'll turn into a pumpkin, right? Yeah, I won't be able to function. Yeah, you won't be able to function because you got yourself used to being involved in such things. That's number one. Shalom Sajjan gives a different answer. He says that, Enachanami, even if you say that he didn't develop this taiva, even once you have a situation of sakonas nefashos and need to be fed, there's a way to do it, right? The way it was done, he had bulmus. Okay, you're sick. You need to be fed. Okay. But the way Esav went about it showed that inside, he's a Baal Taiva. Meaning, if a person who's not a Baal Taiva, if he had bulmus, so he would still act in a very normal, okay, I need to eat very fast. I'm hungry. I'm dying. It would be like, pour it down my throat. It wouldn't be like that. And therefore, the fact that he acted so aggressively and was willing, of course, to give up the Bechorah and pour it down my throat, so that showed that, yes, it's true, he was in a life and death situation, but the way he went about doing it was inappropriate, because somebody who really who's in control of his desires, right? That's why Rashi says that he's called Edom because he's in this ave. You're right, he needed it, but there was something else there. There was certainly a taiva for the lentil soup. And Shlomo Shadron brings down a ma'isa that happened with Alto Slobodka. There was a boy in the Slobodka yeshiva who was deathly ill on Shabbos. He was deathly ill on Shabbos. And then he needed food. Oh, 1 second. Yeah. Is it Shabbos? No, it wasn't Shabbos. I'm sorry, it wasn't Shabbos. I thought it was Shabbos, but it wasn't Shabbos. Right? He was deathly ill. And what did he say? And he needed to bring some food. So he said, bring me a baked apple. Right? And of course, they brought him a baked apple, and he ate the baked apple. So we think, okay, what's the big deal? I don't understand. What's the issue? So I'm understanding from the story that the Altar of Slobodka, who's a master of understanding people, so he said, he didn't speak to him about it right away. So he came to him later on, and he says, baked apple? Apparently a baked apple in those days was like a delicacy. Right? If a person's deathly ill and he needs food, okay, so he asks for bread, asks for a bowl of soup. The fact that this kid asked for something which is a delicacy showed that, like, he's too into his taibas, per se. Okay, obviously it's a high madriga, but the point is clear that if a person becomes, develops a need for delicacies, so then even when he's in a situation where all he needs is bread, he's going to need a baked apple, right? And that's certainly a lesson. So you see from here that Esav Enoch Nami, it could be that the Maamar al-Chazal right, that he was Mamish life and death, he needed food. But either because it was his own fault that he developed such a need for such food, and because he developed such an approach in life, that was the taina, or that even though, no, that wasn't necessarily the case. The case was that once it became a life and death situation, he approached it with a burning desire. And that showed that it wasn't just, you're right, yes, he needed it. But because he turned it into a taiva, which shows that he was a tremendous Baal taiva. Just on the topic of Esav, I used to say over the following idea. And I thought it was from Chaim Shlevitz, and I just saw this morning that it could be that he said it a little bit differently. That the question is, Esav is a smart person. Esav understands the Bechorah. He knew about Avram, right? He knew how great he was. And he was the firstborn. He was going to be the one to do the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. And what did he do? He sold away the firstborn rights, which he certainly had an intellectual understanding of it, for a dinky bowl of soup. How could that be? So what's the pshat? Pshat is, the Torah tells us, V'yidas Esav Esav Bechorah. It was not valuable. It wasn't valuable. His value system was skewered. His value system was messed up. Right? Why? Because even though he knew intellectually that it was a good thing, but over time he developed a disdain, a lack of honor, a lack of respect towards these things. And therefore, in the end of the day, what happened? He had a bowl of soup, and a bowl of soup is a clear and present taiva, something that he needs. His animalistic feelings would rather that. So once he had the bowl of soup in front of him, and the firstborn rights, he said, this is the here and now. He was focused on his animalistic instincts, and his value system was off. And he said, forget the Bechorah. I'd rather have the here and now. I'd rather have the physical taiva. And I think that the message is very clear. Right? If a person understands the value of his learning, a person understands the value of his davening, a person understands the value of his chesed, a person understands the value of acting with kedusha. So who wants to give it up for anything else? Right? Oh, yeah, I want to go out to eat. What do you mean? If you intellectually, if you put it on a scale, you could learn an hour. You can, with a chavrusa, you can learn the base medrash, or you can go out and hang out and eat. So if you look at it intellectually, it's like what's a shaila? But oftentimes you don't think about it. We go with Esav Mahalak. Oh, it's not important. Let's just satisfy our hunger. But if a person has the proper value system, so then even if somebody approaches you and says, hey, come on out, let's go have a bowl of soup. But if your value system is in line, say it's not worth it. And you're able to have a clear head. That's how I used to say it over. But I think I saw this morning quoted from Rav Yeruchim, from Chaim Shulevitz, he says the following. He says, then how could you sell a Bechorah? How do you sell birthright? You can sell a birthright? Something you can sell? What's the pshat? So Yeruchim explains that usually you cannot sell a birthright. But the answer is V'yidas Esav Esav Bechorah, which means something that's holy, like the birthright, if you disregard it, if you don't think of it as valuable, so Hashem says, oh, you don't care about it, you don't think the spiritual things are important, so it's taken away from you. It's not normal. I mean, it's not usual to go ahead and to take spiritual things that you can sell them. No. But in this situation, says Yerucham, is different. When a person is given an opportunity for spirituality, and he basically says, I'm not interested, so Hashem says, you know what, I'm taking it away from you. Even if that's not the proper way, which is a very, very scary thing. This is a little bit on the heavy side, right? A person is given an opportunity to study and learn and do mitzvahs, and he says, whatever. So Hashem says, hold on a second. I don't know how many more opportunities I can give you for this spiritual pursuit. That's Esav. On the way in, I heard a beautiful, beautiful question and answer in the name of Rebbe Pavarsky, who had this chusim meeting last Shabbos after davening. Those of you that didn't hear, he said the most beautiful idea. He said, it says you should prepare yourself for Torah. What's mean to prepare yourself? Rebbe Yonah says midos tovos, right? Most other studies, you don't need midos tovos to become an excellent accountant. You don't need to have midos tovos to become an expert in chemistry. You don't need it. What do you need midos tovos for? For Torah. He said, explained. What's pshat? Because Torah is a godly pursuit. It's a godly thing, right? I can tell you, and people can tell you. Some people who are very not necessarily genius, they have good midos and they work hard and they become master talmid chachamim. So there's something that's Torah is a godly subject, if you can call it a subject. And therefore, what's the first you need midos tovos? Because that's who Hashem talks to. And that's who Hashem gives the siyata d'shmayan learning. But says Rebbe Pavarsky asks an amazing question, right? Many of us learned the Gemara on Daf Yudalid, but yes, our Yitzchak. Right? Yitzchak had to daven. He's davening for children. Ask for Rebbe Pavarsky, I don't understand. We know that Avraham Avinu was pogromous, Kibi Yitzchak Yitzchak Chazera, through Yitzchak you'll have descendants. What does Yitzchak have to daven for? It doesn't make any sense. He can go to sleep. He can feel guaranteed that he knows HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been on the money. Anything he promises Avraham, he promised him kids, he's 100 years old, 99 years old, 100 years old when he's born, no problem, he has kids. You can rely on Hashem. Hashem said Yitzchak is going to have children. End of story. 3 years ago, they were going to be descendants. Why in the world does Yitzchak waste his time davening? Right? Doesn't make any sense. I think it's a very, very strong question. Ezra Bel Pavarsky answers with a marshal. He answers and he says, let's say you have a king. And the king has a son that he loves. The son is amazing, the most outstanding son. And he says to his son, I want you to go to the treasure and I want you take whatever you want. Whatever you need, go in. Here's the key, go in. And the son sits there on the stump, and he's just like sitting there waiting for, and he's not going. And he's not going to the treasury. So that's the marshal. The nimshal is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, the treasure is open for you. I mean, the treasure is not, it's not open yet. The treasure is there for you. Go to my treasure house of brachas. Go to my treasure house of brachas. But here's the key, and go get the brachas. That's what happened with Yitzchak. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, it's yours, Yitzchak. But you got to take the key. You got to take the key and open the treasury. Right? It's similar to the Parshas Bereishis, where it says that where the rain didn't start until somebody asked for the rain. The rain is there. Right? I'm sorry. The growth, the crops were underneath the ground. And until somebody davened for the rain to come and to water the crops, they didn't grow. Because it's all there. All the blessings in life are all there waiting for us. Whether it's spouses, whether it's health, whether it's parnasa, everything you need, all the brachos you need, they're there. Obviously, the Yetzirah says to you, and the Nisayon is, what do you mean? He's never davened a day in his life, and he's got everything going for him. That's not about you. B'shvili nivra olam. You have to look at yourself. We never know how many brachos are waiting for us if we daven more and more and more. Person is continues davening, you know the Gemara brachos. Ain't you lost in Chose Reikom? You're not gonna go empty-handed. You daven, and certainly if you daven with tears, right? If you daven with tears, right? Shari Dimos Lo Nol. If you daven with tears, you need something. It's open. So Yitzchak was given the bracha. You're gonna have kids, but he was given the key, and until he used the key of tefillah, he didn't open. So maybe just a few more seconds. I'll tell you a quick story that I said over on Sukkot. By the Gerzbergs, but I'm not sure if everybody would say that I had heard. And I had heard it first. Actually, I verified it with the Chazan. I'm sure here on the Ilah, on Yom Kippur night, I'm sorry, on Yom Kippur, you made the Shkia, you had Nilo's fast, you had Birchus Konim, and then after Birchus Konim, you said Avinu Malkeinu probably one line at a time, and you, because you needed to wait till, after Yom Kippur was over to daven. So in many places they sing Sim Shalom. Did they sing Sim Shalom over here? Because they want to anyway, drag it out a little bit. So in the Mir Yeshiva, not in my minion, in my minion they don't sing Sim Shalom. In the main minion, but another, my friend Ari Gottesman is the Chazan, he sings Sim Shalom. And it's very lively, sing Sim Shalom. And anyway, so 3 years ago, there were two Kohanim who are brothers on the, you know, by the Bima, by the Aron Kodesh, after Birchas Kohanim, they were hand-in-hand dancing. And there was a young man in the crowd watching two brothers hand-in-hand dancing, and he had a pain in his heart because his brother is not from, his brother is very not from, he's a colonel in the U.S. Army, and he's married to a non-Jew. Anyway, kitzer. And he started to cry. He said, Hashem, please bring my brother back. That's all I have in life, and I have no relationship with him. He's totally off. And he says, please, Hashem, with tears in his eyes, please bring back my brother. And a month later, he gets a phone call from his brother. Listen, I want to talk to you on a regular basis. Don't push me for Yiddishkeit. Don't talk to me about Torah. But I want to start calling you. Of course, over time, things happen. He left his, whatever. He left. He came to Eretz Yisrael. He became b'tshuva. And now, this past Yom Kippur, 3 years later, what did this chazan see? These two brothers are reunited together, davening together in the Mir Yeshiva, singing Sim Shalom hand in hand. The lesson is very, very powerful. The Shari Demos Lonanu. The gates of tears are never closed. You can daven for your friends. You can daven for your family. You can daven for the Jewish people. We know that Shemona Esrei is in plural. Can you imagine? Rino, Berech Aleinu, right? Hashiveinu, all of Klal Yisrael. And that's the beauty of Klal Yisrael, and that's the power of Tefillah. Have a great Shabbos.